to the Marvelous Post Blip Podcast, a podcast on all things Marvel in the Fangirl Zone. I am Mischievous Dave.
I am Sean Fangirl F.
And I'm Steve, and today we're talking about Episode 6 of Season 1 of Ms. Marvel, titled No Normal, written by William Dunn, A.C. Bradley, and Matthew Chauncey, and directed by Adil L. Arabi and Bilal Falala.
That was close, Steve.
Maybe.
So, initial reactions. Sean and Ator, you have a connection for this?
I really liked it. I'm glad that we were wrong and we didn't have to wait till the very end to get the costume. The end was like, oh, okay. I'm kind of excited to see if we're going to get another season or if it will wait now until after the Marvels. Because there was so much going on. And I'm still questioning if Cameron is going to be good or bad. So it was good. I liked it. I have questions. So, I mean, I think that's good.
Steve?
Yeah, I agree. It was a fun episode. It was nice to see Kamala actually fitting into her role better than she has previously. She was a lot more confident in what she was doing. So that was definitely good to see. And I can't wait to find out if we don't have a one-armed Kree on the other side of wherever they pulled Kamala to and Captain Marvel back.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if that's how the Marvels will open.
I struggled with this one a bit. First, I read a few reviews that I agreed with and kind of brought down my opinion of it, but I rallied.
Okay, good.
And I know we're not rating it, but if we did, I would give it 4 out of 5 Deavers. You are so fired. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see Kamala get into her role and take charge of her powers. And it left a few questions, but it answered a few too. So you have to be happy with that.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I feel like the damage control is actually was a bigger villain in this than anybody else.
Right. Team. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's possible setup for the future as well.
Oh my gosh, you think that lady's going to turn into a villain all of a sudden?
She'd make a good one.
Yes, she would.
Oh my gosh.
And well, we got the M word.
Yes. Say, let's touch on that when we get there. Because I was going to say, there was something kind of said, but I mean, I guess they have to figure out a different way since the Inhumans kind of bombed the way it was filmed. But hey, they can retcon that, right?
Oh yeah, they could.
They've retconned everything. So why not? So I'm kind of interested to see if we're going to get that. So I think that means that I have to try to get into Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con to see what information we can get from Marvel.
Yep.
I wasn't going to try that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's talk about a battle. So hopefully I'll have some information. And if I do, we'll put it up on the Facebook page and the website. All right. Are we ready to jump into this episode, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
All right. Back in Jersey, which apparently was a really fast flight. Just saying. Kamala finds Kamran and protects him from damage control, who will stop at nothing to take him in. And I'm just going to say, not just him.
No.
Yeah.
Following the explosion, Circle Q is a mess. That's an understatement. Agent Deaver surveys the scene and complains that this is what happens when kid gets powers.
No, it was your fault, lady.
That's right. The kids had nothing to do with that. That was your drone's missile that did that. Talking to another damage control agent, she instructs them to lock the city down and bring them in before anyone else gets hurt.
Okay, how were they locking down a city?
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Jersey, you that.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of kids, Bruno and Kamran are on the run trying to figure out where to head next. Kamran is injured and they're both a little shaken as they trudge through a subway car. After he grabs one of the subway poles, his powers activate, which startles him and everybody else that saw it.
Yeah.
Bruno tells him not to worry. Kamala freaked out about her powers at first, too. Suddenly, damage control appears in the car with them, and when Kamran accidentally bumps into a passenger trying to get away, he activates his powers again. He shoots his own hard light across the car, breaking a window and startling everyone else. Meanwhile, over at the Khan household, Kamala has an announcement to make. Gathering the whole family together, Muniba, Yusuf, Amir and Taisha, she first apologizes for a long list of things like ruining the wedding and sneaking out to AvengerCon. But then Munima cues her to speed it up.
I know. We'll give the old speed it up.
Okay, so here goes. Kamala wants everyone to know that she is the light girl. The what? Amir asks. Kamala has to qualify that she means nightlight, and the whole family is shocked. Just kidding, because they all knew. Munima had already told Yusuf, and since Yusuf takes all of his calls on speaker, Amir and Taisha overheard the conversation.
Gonna love that family.
Yep. This is not new information to them, and they've got hundreds of questions.
I did like how they at least faked it.
Played along, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're faking it, but you're really bad at that, too.
Yes.
Oh, I'm shocked, I tell you. But that was at least cute. And I think it helped her because she was so nervous about everything.
Right.
That it's like, what? Wait, what?
However, Yusuf is worried about his daughter and her newfound powers and recognition. Kamala is just so incredible. I, for one, am so proud of you. We all are in all of you. But I just want to be sure that you're being careful out there. I mean, just because you can do these amazing things doesn't mean that you're actually volunteering to go looking for trouble. And Kamala has an answer to this. I don't think you raised me to sit behind and do nothing when I can help people.
Touché.
And more importantly, her family trusts her. Finally. But this gathering is interrupted when Nakia calls Amir. Puzzled, he hands the phone to Kamala, who jumps on the phone with her. Kamala is so excited to be her best friend, but Nakia has no time for chit-chat. Has Kamala heard from Bruno? Because the Circle Q exploded.
How does a mini-mart explode?
Huh? Yes.
Those hot dogs have been on the rollers for a few
weeks. Oh my God, I was literally going to say that right now.
Boom. So frantic. Kamala starts trying to call Bruno, but he doesn't pick up. And she paces back and forth across her room when Eva enters with a surprise, handing her daughter a toffee box. Kamala opens it up to find a brand new outfit inside. This feels a bit more like you, Maniva says, as Kamala stares at the blue, gold, and red pattern. She puts it on and takes off running high above the streets of Jersey City on her hard light platforms, of course. Hard light platform shoes. Not knowing where else to go, Bruno takes Kamran to the mosque. Nakia is not happy to find them there because this is absolutely where damage control is going to look first. A plan is hatched, and it's clear Bruno and Kamran are going to head to the high school since that's the only place guaranteed to be empty on a Saturday.
True that.
Like,
more or less.
Like, yeah.
I did like how Nakia was like, yeah, you know, sanitation department probably has us bugged or under surveillance, yeah. Too. Come on, guys.
Sure enough, damage control shows up in the mosque and demands to see everyone's IDs. But this is not the first time a government agent has stormed into the building, and Sheikh Abdullah and everyone else are ready with their identification.
That was awesome with all holding their IDs.
Guy's good. Feeling like they're stalling for time, Agent Deaver brushes past them and starts barking out orders where to look. Nakia tries to create a diversion, which actually works, even though she mumbles that Miguel is her boyfriend. Hey, you won't fight that.
No.
Thankfully, Bruno and Cameron stay hidden long enough to escape out the side and duck into an alleyway. That's when Kamala drops in, literally, from overhead. Kamala immediately starts checking in on Bruno, but it's Cameron everyone has to worry about. He's overcome with his powers and not knowing how to control them. Lets it all loose, sending things flying in the alleyway. Kamala and Bruno manage to help him up, and the three escape down the street together. Finally making it to the high school, Kamala sends Bruno and Cameron ahead of her while she makes a phone call. Kareem picks up the phone on the other end. Kamala explains that she needs help. Specifically,
already?
Yeah, I know. Kamran needs help. He's like, eye roll. She knows Kamran is the last person Kareem would ever want to help because he's related to the clandestine. But Kareem understands. He'll see what he can do. Kamran just has to make it to the harbor by midnight.
It's always midnight at a harbor.
Yes. Yeah,
kind of a nebulous one. Got a location at this harbor?
Yeah.
Or is that as easy as locking down the city? Once
just
inside,
they'll find you. Don't worry.
Yeah. They'll find you. Once inside the high school, the three of them are joined by Nakia, who takes one look at Kamala's new outfit and bitterly jokes if it was made in Pakistan. Kamala immediately starts apologizing to her best friend and tries to explain that since Nakia hates superheroes, she didn't want Nakia to hate her too. Realizing how fearful Kamala was about this, Nakia reassures her that she would never hate her. Bruno happens to look outside and sees the damage control has the place surrounded. Kamala knows that he's the one they're looking for since he blew up the Circle Q. And Kamala tells everyone they shouldn't leave so they don't get roped into this too. But Bruno reminds them that they already blew up his apartment, and Naka is upset because they invaded the mosque, and also Zoe confesses that Damage Control tries to trick her into giving up Kamala. It's always at the high school because the lighting in the theater is really good, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
Like, just pops in from nowhere. No one's leaving. They're in all this together.
I thought that was kind of funny when Zoe's just like, yeah, and it's like, wait.
Where did you come from? Yeah. Oh, I was in the theater filming my TikTok.
And how the heck did they just know they were going to be at the school? It's like, really? That's a huge presence. Aren't you supposed to be locking down the damn city?
Yeah.
Yeah. Starting with the high school. I would think they'd go to each one of their homes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bruno doesn't have one right now, so that was easy.
That one they can scratch off the list.
But it's like, what the heck? How are you just like, oh, yes, let's get everyone at the school, because obviously that's where they are. What? So basically they could have, like, hid out and then went back into the mosque and nobody would have known?
Right.
I know.
Sorry. That kind of irked me. It's like, what? At least say, oh, they were spotted going to the school. Something. Give us some reason for them to be there in that kind of huge amount.
Well, you got to figure that, you know, in the alleyway, Kamran was having problems controlling his powers. So where's the next safest place to hide out? The school.
The harbor.
Anywhere in the city.
Okay. Okay, so what's the plan? Since Damage Control is already here, they can't outrun them, so they'll distract them. It's a good plan, according to Amir, because, yeah, he's here now, too. Maneva sent him to watch over Kamala, which he immediately protests because superheroes don't need chaperones. I love it. They're like, wait, how'd you get in here? He's like, I went here, too. Okay, back to the plan. They're going to need supplies like hoodies, skeletons, fire extinguishers, softballs, and also Zoe's phone. What? The first part of the plan.
Copy of Home Alone, too.
I love it. You really need MacGyver. She's drawing everything out. The first part of the plan is simply stall Damage Control. The second part of the plan is to have Zoe live stream everything happening to all of her followers. As for Damage Control, Agent Deaver calls Agent Cleary with the good news, and I say that in quotes, that they are closing in on the enhanced individuals. Except Cleary isn't thrilled that that's happening in front of a high school because there is such a thing as bad press. And I have to say that I kind of thought the whole Zoe live streaming thing was brilliant.
Yes, absolutely it was.
Because, yeah, now the whole world, or, well,
since everyone follows Zoe,
the whole world can see it.
Right.
Because, you know, once one person starts, it gets shared and it's all over and
yeah,
look what they're doing. Yeah, it's horrible. All right, though he tells Agent Deaver to stand down. Yeah. Wouldn't she roll her eyes?
Yeah.
She goes against his orders and orders the agents to move in on the high school. And inside, we have much being discussed and a lot of Home Alone moments, much like Dave said. Nakia quizzes Zoe as to why she didn't say anything about Kamala's powers. I think Kamala should be able to tell this whole world or school when she's ready. She saved my life. And I'm like, well, that was really kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of squinting like, what are you up to? She's like, I want to have it exclusive. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Elsewhere, Kamala confesses to Bruno that Kamran's mom died in Karachi. Something she shouldn't tell him right now because he's a little unstable.
Yes, just a little.
We might all go boom. And Amir wonders if Kamran ever really liked those cooking competitions. He looked very distraught with that moment.
Yes.
Do you even like the British Bake Off? And, of course, that's the time that Damage Control breaches the school. And game on. The first thing Damage Control comes across is Bruno's Zuzu. And not knowing what it is, they call for Bomb Squad. And I'm thinking, oh, good. They can have a few moments or more. And then it starts talking. It's like,
yeah, no. And they blow it up.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Are you using that setting on the kids?
Yeah.
What the heck? On the second floor of the building, Kamran yells at the agents down below, and they spot him wearing a red hat and sweatshirt. Turns out everyone's wearing that same red hat and sweatshirt, and it's all to confuse Damage Control. And the agents wonder if Kamran has been multiplying powers now. No, that is a mutant power somebody has.
Yes.
Hints, hints, hints. Meanwhile, Zoe goes live on her social media account telling everyone that Damage Control has her and her friends surrounded, and they really need help. And going back into the school, it is complete chaos. The group has barricaded as many things as they can and ride around a bike. Where'd they get the bike? That wasn't on the chalkboard.
No.
Using the smoke from fire extinguishers. That's not how that works, but okay. And they create even larger distractions with some science projects gone wrong, very Home Alone, and trap some agents in foam, which it's like, it's foam, guys. But anyway, she and Kamran decide to duck into the school counselor's office. Oh no, we're going to be trapped. As damage control agents close in on them, thinking they've been discovered, and they have that moment where they're looking at each other. Yeah. Deeply in each other's eyes. I'm like, bleh. The agents are called away at the last second, only to reveal that Kamran and Kama have been holding hands the entire time, with their Nora energy glowing a new color. Still with me, Kamala asks him, which Kamran replies, always was. And they lean in to kiss. It's like, la 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 la. And of course, that's the exact moment Bruno rushes into the room and sees what he was about to interrupt.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Way to go, Brian.
Yeah.
I think he was a little upset. He's like, all right,
yeah,
process this. And it's like, all right, get running. I will distract them. Yeah, that was very odd. How are there two entrances into an office?
Yes.
You're at the school. Whatever. But in an effort to distract the agents, he begins to dance to music as they jump and apprehend him because they came from two sides and he was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Nakia rides around the gym on a bike, confusing all the agents before joining up with Amir and Zoe. And yes, the whole softball thing, which their plans to shoot damage control with softball initially work, and then the group is quickly captured. Okay, I'm just going to say, I know those machines can go really fast and it hurts when you get hit by one.
Right, but they had some armor on, so it was more for them to trip over than anything else.
And again, coming from two sides, it's like, oh, we didn't think about that.
Yeah. Oops. So Kamala and Kamran rush down a hallway as Kamala explains that she's got a friend who can help him out. Kamran immediately knows who she's talking about, the Red Daggers, and he protests this. The Red Daggers have been fighting his family for generations, so why should he trust them now? Kamran asks Kamala what happened to his mother, and before she can answer, two damage control agents crash through the building. Kamran, frustrated, immediately blasts the agent with his hard light, but Kamala stops it. As they continue running, Kamala tries to explain that Najma was trying to destroy everything. Kamran notes that she was just trying to save his home. Well, I don't know about that.
No, this is your home, Kamran. You were born here.
Yes.
So, no, she was trying to destroy your home.
After asking again, Kamala tells him she's sorry, and he knows what that means. His mother is dead. As more agents move in on them, Kamran turns the corner and begins fighting them with everything he's got, destroying the hallway and toppling over the lockers. In an effort to stop him, Kamala grabs him, but it's no use. He runs away. Blasting out of the doors of the school, Kamran comes face to face with dozens of damage control agents. Agent Deaver instructs him to get on his knees, but instead, Kamran powers up.
This is why they didn't want to tell him what happened.
Exactly. The agents begin shooting at him, and he's able to deflect many of the bullets, but not all of them.
Yeah, right. So much for non-lethal, too.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Deaver didn't care if they killed both of them. Get him off the street. And that's when Kamala jumps out a window and gets in between Kamran and the agents, creating a shield to try and save him.
That was pretty heroic.
Yes, it was. Kamala is able to hold off the agents, but not for long. Deaver brings out an even bigger weapon to fire at them, and it completely blasts Kamala and Kamran away. As the weapon powers up again, Kamala says the magic word, Imbigan. She stretches and grows double her height and stops the weapon from firing again, throwing cars here and there to slow damage control down.
Yeah, where did Imbigan come from? I know it's from the comics, but like, why is she suddenly saying
that? Yeah, we had no context for that at all.
No, we didn't. But she's still Kamala after all, and double checks on some of the agents nearby, asking them if they're okay. Yes, Miss Nightlight, they replied back as Kamala groans. She's trying to drop the Nightlight name. So while Kamala is trying to slow damage control down, Kamran is prepared to fight them head on. He takes out a few agents with his hard light powers, and that's when Agent Deaver moves over to apprehend him. He tosses a car at her, but it misses and goes flying towards a crowd of onlookers off to the side. Crowd that includes Kamala's whole family and many members of the mosque and Zoe's social media followers. Realizing what he's done, there's no time to stop it, but Kamala can. Grabs the car and pulls it away before it can hurt anyone. Yay!
It's a damn good thing she's there.
Yeah.
But Kamran is still frustrated and upset as Agent Deaver moves in again. Kamran lets his powers completely loose, creating a trail of destruction in its wake. Kamala uses all of her powers and strength to push forward to try and stop him and creates a safe bubble for the two of them to talk. Was he still doing that while she was in the bubble? I just thought, how come she didn't get it? Well, I don't know. Kamala looks around. They're never going to accept me, and they won't accept you either. My mother was right. This isn't my home, Kamran tells Kamala. He wonders how he can be normal, and Kamala tries to reason with him. There is no normal. There is just us and what we do with what we've been given. Kamran realizes that she's right, and after she creates a getaway for him, he heads to the harbor.
That was kind of that Spider-Man moment.
Yes.
I was like, at least they didn't say that line.
Yeah.
When Kamala's light shield finally deteriorates, the crowd of onlookers rushes her, creating a giant human barricade, and the Jersey City police join in too. To stop What?
Yeah. I would say, well, yeah, she stopped the car from landing on them.
Yeah. With that much distraction, Kamala jumps above the crowd and hurries away on her hard light platforms. And that's when Agent Deaver gets a call from Agent Cleary, who instructs her that she's relieved of her duty and someone else is coming to clean up her mess. Wow, good luck with that one.
Yeah.
You need a big room. Back home safe and sound, Kamala scrolls through the social media and seeing dozens of posts celebrating her. Now she saved everyone. With a deep breath, she takes a look at herself in the mirror and realizes she's been able to accomplish. Kamala climbs outside on the roof and Yusef joins her out there. He asks her what her superhero name is, but Kamala explains that she's still figuring it out. Yusef reminds her that we all are. As Yusef talks, we see how Kamala has been able to help her friends along the way. Bruno prepares to head off to Caltech. Nakia calls out instructions in the mosque, and Kamran arrives in Karachi to meet Kareem. His boat, faster than that airplane.
Yes!
Yeah, no kidding.
On the roof, Yusef continues to explain just how important his daughter is to the family and mentions that the word Kamala actually means perfect in Arabic, but in Urdu, it means more like a wonder or a marvel. Boom!
Yeah, and I love this because her eyes get all big. I share the same name as Carol freaking Danvers. Yusef's like, who's that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who's that? Have you been in your daughter's room? I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
And with one last hug to her dad, Kamala takes off into the night sky on her hard light platform. Yusef watches her go and whispers to himself, magic. I'm like, full circle. Okay. 1 week later. I'm glad because I thought it ended right there.
Right.
Like 1 week later. Okay. Bruno and Nakia pull up in Kamran's car he left behind when he fled the country. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know, the two begin to argue about who the car belongs to. Nakia insists that it looks better here in Jersey City and Bruno shouldn't take it to Caltech. But more importantly, we find out Bruno is going to Caltech.
Yeah.
So, yay. Yep. And Bruno decides to finally talk to Kamala. Is he going to tell her his feelings and everything? No. He tells her something else that is pretty important, though, because Amir has been wondering if he has powers, too. So Bruno has been running some tests. Like, so very Tony Stark and Bruce Banner of you.
Yes.
Shakes head quietly.
In the simplest terms, Bruno explains, we know why you have access to the Nor and why you can wield it. But when I compared you to the rest of your family, well, something seems off. Kamala stares at Bruno for a second, unsure how to answer. I mean, yeah, how do you say? What do you mean something seems off?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's a bad thing to say to any young lady.
Yes.
She's going to embiggen her palm right in your face. Whatever it is, it's just going to be another label. She shrugs and asks for Kamran's car keys because, you know, she's the only one who actually has driven the car. Obviously, no, those two drove up in it, but whatever. That's when Bruno realizes that Nakia has swiped his car keys, and with a laugh, they all pile into Kamran's vehicle and drive away. But he did say there's a mutation, so are we finally going to get them a little more front and center, is what I'm wondering.
I would say yes. After the multiverse of madness brought in two different groups.
I would say it's kind of like a green train coming out of the sky.
Yes.
Well, sometime later, what was that, Steve?
Yeah, it was just coming down the tracks.
Yeah, there you go. Sometime later, Kamala collapses on her bed with her mother calling from downstairs saying, that doesn't sound like science homework. Is science homework supposed to be loud? I'm Kamala groans, and that's when she notices the bangle on her wrist is illuminating. As she gets up to take a better look, suddenly she's sucked away into some unknown force into her closet. Very Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And it destroyed that closet door, so that had to hurt, is all I'm saying. But when the dust settles, Captain Marvel stands up, takes one look around Kamala's room with all the pictures and posters of her, and she's like, oh no. Just for a second, I'm like, wait, did she change bodies somehow? Because
right.
her costume is different, too.
Right.
Because did you guys notice that like the sleeves were not all the way down? I know it's a small thing, but I'm like, because her sleeves were maybe like 3/4 down right. her arm. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought the whole point was, you know, so she can be in space with a suit. But her hair is different, which that's been an ongoing thing. Yeah. And then we get the, Ms. Marvel will return in the Marvels, which isn't supposed to drop until July of 2023.
Right.
So, again, hoping we get some information at Comic-Con. So, everybody stay tuned to Marvel and Twitter. They like to drop stuff there, too.
Right. Absolutely, they do.
And there were, like, Easter eggs abound. And, Dave, why don't you talk to us about how much the Easter Bunny left us?
That screw, damn rabbit had left Easter eggs everywhere. So yes, mutants are now officially part of the MCU, and the biggest of Ms. Marvel's Easter eggs, Bruno checks Kamala's DNA to see if it's possible other members of her family have superpowers, and he discovers something unique about her genes. He's not so sure what it is, but it describes it as being like a mutation. Ding, ding, ding. This is followed by a beautiful riff of the classic X-Men, the animated series theme tune, reinforcing the fact that Kamala Khan is in fact a mutant. That's some family tree they have there.
Yeah.
Marvel regained the film rights to the mutants after Disney acquired the bulk of Fox's film and TV empire, and viewers are eager to await their introduction to the MCU. Amusingly, Kamala rolls her eyes and observes her genetic anomaly would just mean she gets another label, and so certainly, which is certainly right for viewers. Episode 6 may offer a lot of important clues to the nature of the mutants in the MCU, the Marvel Studios visual dictionary hinted characters like Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel could be mutants, people with unique genetic markers that respond to external sources of power. It is perhaps significant that Kamala Khan will return in The Marvels, alongside both Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, the latter empowered but she's exposed to Scarlet Witch's hex. Someone told me they recast Monica Rambeau for that movie.
Oh, no. Guys, oh, better no. not.
I heard that at the comic book store the other day. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that would suck.
I'll have to check that. The three women could all be mutants, and even possible mutants will be called Marvels in the MCU, adding much more depth to the film's title. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, you know we are going to get X-Men 97. It's going to be animated, but they're reviving that.
Right.
So maybe that's a way to get us into it, and they'll drop hints in there, maybe.
Yeah. So, did you realize Damage Control is being positioned as an X-Men-style enemy? Attentive viewers will have actually... What?
I'm not surprised. That's basically all I was going to say.
You must be the attentive viewer we're going to discuss, because you actually noticed an X-Men-style plot already weaving its way through the Ms. Marvel. The idea of empowered people are hated and feared, and indeed should be regulated, with Damage Control apparently responsible for policing the Sokovia Accords in the MCU's Phase 4, and responding badly to the emergence of new superhumans. Indeed, one early scene in Ms. Marvel Episode 6 sees Damage Control. Sadie Deaver complains the destruction of the Circuit is what happens when the wrong people get powers. Kids! Long lady.
Yep.
And I hope to give her some weird green costume with really tall hair. A bad cape. In the comics, the mutants are associated with the X gene. What's that?
A Trump face.
Okay. Which triggers at puberty, meaning it is indeed common for teenagers to gain superpowers. Yeah, you don't want any superpowered babies running around.
No.
No, that's in The Boys, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. Damage Control's attitude positions them as antagonists when mutants become mainstream. Also, here's an Easter egg. The Red Dagger's map has moved. The episode 6 sees Kamala ask for help getting Kamran out of the country. She turns to the Red Daggers for help, and there's a brief shot of Kareem in their headquarters in Karachi. That wasn't destroyed. And the camera deliberately focuses on one detail, the fact that they changed the area of the focus of the map the Red Daggers used to track Nora across the world. It's an intriguing detail, more than just an Easter egg, suggesting there's another story going on in Asia, perhaps even another mutant-related plot. I actually didn't pick up on that, but yeah.
Well, I seen them like standing right in front of it. I didn't notice that it had moved because I didn't pay that close attention to the previous episode that they had the map in.
Right.
So again, love these people knowing every little detail.
Yeah. You know, Ms. Marvel loves it when a plan comes together. Getting Cameron out of the country will require careful planning on the hero's part, and Kamala puts together one of her customary chalkboard plans to do so. I like how the chalkboard always comes to life, too.
Yeah.
It's a fun Ms. Marvel Easter egg, and it feels like the A-team as the kids take advantage of anything they have on hand to create elaborate non-lethal traps or damage control agents. I would have loved to use one of those softball guns. Create a time, yes, please. Plan goes wrong when Cameron learns his mother is dead and goes off on his own. Kamala leaps to his defense in a scene where Nora Energy forms into a full-body exoskeleton around her. Ms. Marvel's powers have been massively changed for the MCU, and the full-body armor is visually reminiscent of the artist's renditions of lesser-known X-Men character armor, even if she does strike some of our traditional Ms. Marvel poses. Gotta keep those.
Yep.
In the comics, armor possesses the power to summon just this kind of energy-based exoskeleton around herself, although hers seems to be more durable than Kamala's in the MCU. I guess she's gonna do something about that smashing of the light there.
Yes.
Hey, she's still learning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why she has to do something.
Yes.
Damage Control deploys sonic weapons to deal with superhumans. Where do they get all these wonderful toys?
They raided Tony Stark's lab.
Yes. Yeah.
This isn't the first time the viewers have seen sonic weapons used this kind of way. General Ross used more powerful version against the Hulk and in The Incredible Hulk. It's more a little concerning to see Damage Control deploying technology developed for use with Hulk against kids, and even these sonic blasts are nowhere near as devastating. Yeah, kids, lady, come on.
Yes.
Ms. Marvel was created after the pattern of Spider-Man on Everything Hero, who was just an ordinary kid when she took off her mask. It's particularly appropriate, therefore, that Season 6 features a riff on the idea from Tobey Maguire in the Spider-Man films of the superhero being defended by the people of the city, a demonstration of inspired solidarity. This was woven into the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, a result of the Twin Towers, and it became a recurring theme. Now, Ms. Marvel Season 1 has followed the same pattern. For work, stick with it.
Yep.
Now, some of the New Jersey locals took to social media to celebrate the defense of Ms. Marvel. One of them is called Master Paul 616, an amusing nod to Marvel's multiverse. In the comics, 616 is the numeric designation of the main Marvel timeline. The MCU has co-opted Earth 616 to refer to the film universe. This particular Easter egg will no doubt be controversial with Ms. Marvel star Iman Vellani, who insists that MCU can't be Earth 616. She loves the comics so much and wants the MCU and the comics to be part of the same multiverse. Well, we'll see what kind of power she wields.
Right.
Musically, one of the superhero hashtags in the MCU is apparently hashtag Kapow. Well, I did like when
from the 60s Batman.
Yeah, Kapow. I did like how they, as an Easter egg, recreated the famous lamppost scene. I think I've been kind of waiting for that.
Yes.
The finale features a recreation of the classic comic book panel where Kamala Khan sits on a lamppost. One of her more celebrated images. The lamppost moment is just one of my favorite. Sana Ahmad, Kamala's co-creator and writer of Ms. Marvel, observed in the interview. Being on set and watching that film was just so crazy and amazing and emotional. It's a delight to see Ms. Marvel's iconic lamppost scene brought to life. Ms. Marvel's post-credit scene seen Kamala Khan bangle flare, and she apparently body swapped with her icon, Carol Danvers. The scene feels like a loose homage to 2014 Ms. Marvel number 1, the issue in which Kamala gained her powers in the comics, where she initially took on the form of her favorite hero. Interestingly, the flare of purple energy released when Kamala switches place with Carol Danvers is reminiscent of the purple flower flares associated with the Kree Negabands. One plot involving the Negabands saw Rick Jones and the Kree Captain Marvel switch bodies in the same way. I'm not sure I want that, but...
No!
There's been speculation that the bangle is the MCU's version of the Kree Negaband, and as Ms. Marvel set up for the Marvel, seems to hint that that could be the case.
And we had a discussion about that. No body swapping there, I don't think.
I hope not.
No, because she wouldn't have understood, or if they just did the body swap, then she would have known where she was.
Right.
And with her looking around and seeing all of the posters of herself, it had to just be like they totally switched places somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I think, too, is that they just switched locations. Wherever Captain Marvel was, that's where Kamala is now.
And she could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Really not good, because Captain Marvel always wears her helmet and she can breathe in space. Kamala, not so much.
Right. So at least, more than likely, Kamala's not in space. So that's a good thing.
Right? Yes.
All right. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast with good ratings and reviews. It helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Marvel podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can go over to www.fangirlzone.com, check out our contacts page with all of the ways to get a hold of us, and we will always answer. And like I said, don't forget to check everything out anyway, because I will be updating any information I get from San Diego Comic-Con. And, you know, why don't you check out some of the other awesome podcasts we have, too? You know, like Mudhorn Clancast, for example, because there's so much going on in the Star Wars universe as well. Episode of the Marvelous Post-Blip Podcast.
I'm Steve. Superheroes don't need chaperones.
I'm Sean Fangirl S. And why did she say embiggen? I just feel like there's a better word. I don't know.
She must read the comic. And this is Mischievous Dave. And do you know how long I've waited for Brie Larson would have just appear in my bedroom? And now she does it for some kid in Jersey? Come on!
There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.